Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your moist.
Oh, no. No. Sam, stop.
Little ears into.
That was good.
That was the longest one I've ever done.
Hey, man.
No one knows what that is. But Patreon people know what it is. No one knows what that is.
Yeah.
It could be anything making
but
that
But it's
sound.
The longest one you've ever done.
It is. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Guys. This is Only Stupid Answers, the podcast where we talk about movies,
yes.
TV shows,
yes.
Comic books sometimes, yes. Space,
yeah,
aliens.
Scary things.
Cryptids.
Yeah.
And there's other stuff. It's a catch-all.
Yes.
We talk about everything fun.
Yes.
The hosts of the show, you know, the guy over there.
My name is DJ Woldridge. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash everywhere that place that matters.
Guy over here, Sam, and a very special guest this episode returning for the this is your 50. How many times you've been on the show? A lot.
I've actually never left.
No. You've just been waiting quite like can I
I'll find you.
You
she
do
hangs out with the audience. Yeah.
It's just her and then corpses.
Yeah.
How are you, Maude?
Pretty good.
You excited to talk about
Star
Wars?
This is solo weekend. Pew, pew, pew. This is like this is my busiest weekend.
Yeah.
Anytime a Star Wars movie comes out.
And you saw it like, what, 3 weeks ago, something like that?
I saw it at the world premiere, actually.
Ooh. Wow.
Yes. I was walking down the carpet and I saw all the stars and I saw George Lucas and I saw Jon Favreau and I was touching distance from them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Mother of Dragons.
Nice.
Yes.
She's got the craziest eyebrows I've ever seen.
Dude,
they move all over the goddamn place.
I don't think she's got control over them anymore.
Yeah,
I think that they are sentient.
Because like I can move them up and down. And then some people have like a point when they raise their eyebrows, they actually come to points instead of it's like some stupid stuff like half my family can do and half my family can't do. Mm. Hers, though, are like little worms inside of her face that like...
She can do the wave with her brows.
Yeah, it goes all the way. Mine is like... That really stiff white guy at the party that goes down on the floor and like does like a flop. That's what my eyebrows can do. Hers, though, is like the full like breaking all your vertebrae doing the worm. Anywho, that's pretty cool, and I'm excited to talk more about Solo. We've never talked about this movie before, so
yeah,
can't wait to know our hot takes on this movie.
And I can give you the scoop of what I did chat with the cast about as well if anyone's interested, because that's the only way that I am relevant.
Tell us the secrets. Tell us the secrets.
Tell us the secrets. Tell us the secrets.
Now, before we dive into Solo, though, we like to start off every episode by reading our 5-star reviews on iTunes, because
it's the only way we make it through the week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can listen to our podcast on a ton of different platforms, and if you want to know what all those platforms are, plus all our social media, all that stuff, you can go to onlystupidanswers.com. Yes. But we love it when you go to iTunes and give us a 5-star
also,
review.
Also, this is important to know. If you've given a 5-star review and it's been 6 months and you're like, oh boy, do I want to give another one? You can.
Yeah, you
they
totally
will let you do
can.
Another one.
You totally can.
It helps us get higher on the charts, which gets us more ads, means we can do more things.
Exactly.
All right, Sam, I'll do it right now.
Thank
Woo!
You, so, audience.
That was Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim. Thanks, Tim. We're going to talk later, Tim.
Can't wait.
This 5-star review is from Kimraj3, first-time listener. Listened to you guys for the first time yesterday, and I'd say I'm hooked. Love the banter and topics you guys cover, so just keep doing what you're doing because I'm a fan.
Smiley face. We have another one here from Moist Little Ears Represent. 5 stars. Katum69. This podcast is like receiving a gift from a dear friend every week. I trust these guys with movies and TV reviews. You guys are awesome. This is an Instagram Snapchat. That was a very sweet review from both you. Sweet. I don't know what gender you guys are. Individuals. Thank
it's
you so
irrelevant
much.
Anymore.
Yes, genders don't exist. Right?
Wait,
anyway.
Did I say the right? Did I do the wrong hot take? I'll figure it out.
You must have said something right because you ended the conversation.
And when the room goes silent, I win.
You did good.
Exactly. So, Thank you for those 5-star reviews. We appreciate that. We're going to dive into what we're into this week.
It's what we're into this week. It could be movies. It could be TV shows. It could be books. It could be goddamn new hobby you have. But all over the place. But
before we jump into what we're into this week, let's take a second and talk about our pals over at ZipRecruiter.
I made it a song.
You did make it a song. I like that you make things into songs.
There are some people online that were singing the jingles that we made for free.
Yeah.
Of other brands. So might as well. Let's add the jingle.
Let's try. Oh, hold on. Let's try. Zip Recruiter. We'll get there. Are you hiring? Are you posting your position to job sites and waiting for the right people to see it? That sounds like a real honest-to-goodness hassle, all right? So ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. That is so quick.
That's too fast.
And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them.
And businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs, all right? So get out a pen and paper, write this down. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. You write this down. Free. F-R-E-E. All right. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/stupid. One more time. All right. Write it out. ZipRecruiter.com/stupid. Third time, just because some of us are, we're slower writers. That's me. This is for me. ZipRecruiter.com/stupid. Don't waste any time. Go check them out. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire.
Now back to the show. So now is the part of the episode where we like to talk about stuff that we've checked out, movies, TV shows, whatever, that maybe we haven't had a chance to talk about or we don't think people are talking about enough.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam, is there something? Oh, what?
Well, you know, when I'm on the show, I make you guys do a powered because we do Power Up and what? Powered for Geek Bomb, which obviously is an acronym. And we ask everyone to share what you're currently playing, watching, reading and doing. Mm. So maybe
that's good.
We could just condense it because it can take a while. Yeah. People love shit.
Yeah.
So, Sam, what are you currently playing?
Detroit. Beyond, it's not Beyond Human. That's a different subtitle for another game. But no. Detroit, there's a demo on PlayStation. If you guys haven't downloaded it yet, it's the same demo that was shown when the game was first announced.
Cool. What are you watching?
Barry.
Wait, reading.
On HBO.
That's a bad noise.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Love it. I'm rereading it. I wanted to reread it again because I really like the attention to detail that Brian Lee O'Malley puts into recreating Toronto in a comic book.
Yeah.
Literally every place you visit is an actual
place.
What
are you doing?
Podcast.
Cool. DJ.
Sprained ankle.
What's your powered?
I'm not playing anything right now. I'm a little too slammed
you're
with
you're playing
stuff
with Tim's emotions? Yep.
Yeah, I'm playing with Tim's emotions. Reading.
Watching.
Watching. I've been checking out Problem Areas on HBO. Whites and Axe Problem Areas on HBO. Reading now?
Yep.
Yes.
Lock and Key.
Yay.
Yeah, Sam's got the whole collection of Lock and Key. He's been loaning it to me so I can read it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And then
when are you going to give me your goddamn password back for the...
It's my Amazon password. I'm scared to give that to people.
I know.
I have to
hand over my iPad every time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people got kicked off of that Comixology account because I paired it to my Amazon. I'm like, no, now you have my credit cards. I don't want you guys to have that. Yeah.
Don't trust me.
It's the last couple days of my Chaos Theory Kickstarter campaign, and there's a chunk left to go. There's been people were kind of intimidated by the breadth of the project, and it may not happen. It may not happen. I'm currently trying to figure out stuff to make parts of it happen. But if you'd like to see it happen, I highly recommend you go to chaostheorycomic.com and contribute, because that's the only way. It's making comics is crazy expensive because you have to pay your artist, your colorist, your letterer, a cover artist, printing costs to get it to you. There's a bunch of rewards that I you guys could get. All that costs money. So the only way it could possibly happen ever is through a crowdfunding campaign like this. So if you're interested in it, if you want to support any comics, if you want to see more projects from me like this, I highly recommend you go to chaostheorycomic.com and contribute. And also stay tuned on my Twitter for what the next phase could be.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for it, Maude.
Hell yeah.
Playing.
I want to get back into Stardew Valley. I took a little bit of time off. The problem is I'm trying to seduce a character called Sam at the moment, and that's just hell awkward.
Hold on. I need to pause real quick. What was the title of the thing again?
Stardew Valley.
Yeah, you said it again. Sorry. Say it. What's the...
Stardew Valley.
So it is what it sounds like. Yeah. Okay.
What
Star,
is it?
Stardew Valley. Stardew
Valley.
Come on, guys. It's my accent.
Yeah, okay. I know that, but you kept saying Stardew. It the same way.
Yeah, because yeah, when I say dew, it's dew.
Cool.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys say duty. this is actually a game that Ryan Coogler, director of Black Panther, is obsessed with.
Nice.
It's a kind of like a 16-bit or like a pixelated sort of design game where you take over your parents' recently deceased farm.
Okay.
And
I thought you were going to say bodies, and I was like, oh no, go on.
Body snatches. But it's just a really, really cute game. It's supposed to be aimed for like younger people, but a lot of adults are obsessed with it, and you're just supposed to cultivate the farm and, you know, grow things, and then the more you play, the more you can build up and, you know, have relationships with the town, and there's little tasks. It's real cute.
Cool. That's cool. So it's something like a Harvest Moon type deal.
Ish. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know, it hooks you.
Where can people play it?
I mean, I'm playing it on my MacBook, okay. But I really recommend playing it on this Nintendo Switch.
Cool.
Guess you've got a Switch.
Yay.
You do.
Yeah. I have that.
Give it a go. No.
Yes.
Your birthday's coming up. Maybe I'll get it for you for your birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, that's all sweet, Maude.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bud.
August.
A day in there.
Nah.
Watching.
I just finished 2 seasons of Unreal. Do you remember when we did a show on SourceFed and Matt Lieberman was the one that was advocating it? He was talking about it, and that's when I first heard about
it. Which one's Unreal?
Unreal is like, it's supposed to be the behind-the-scenes look at reality television, and it's the Bachelor sort of esque
series.
The
drama. It's dramatized, right? Like
100%. But that movie really got under my skin and in my head. I felt anxious, and I was like, it made me feel a little bit sick inside because it's really destructive and it's emotionally abusive. So there you go. Yeah, cool. Watch that.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm reading a series called Crown of Thorns series. It's by a female fantasy author, Sarah J. Maas. It's basically, it starts off being like a kinky Beauty and the Beast.
There you go.
Yeah. It's good. The female gaze, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Sometimes I'm walking my dog and I'm like, holy shit, I'm so glad my dog can't hear what's happening because it's getting a little bit hot. Anyway, and I'm actually launching a label, guys. It's called what?
Oh, great. Oh, all right.
He already guessed it. Yeah. That's good because most people are like, what is it called? He's like, yeah.
What?
Is it called? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So what? It's basically a geeky street line. So it's subtle nostalgia geek and really cool retro wear. So I'm going to be doing a photo shoot for that soon. And
that's super
you can check
cool.
out Shop What on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And yeah, it's all California made. So it's locally made and it's handmade.
Hey.
So it's only made to order. So it's not mass produced at all. It's, you know, super quality over quantity. And I'm losing sleep over it, but it's so cool, guys.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
You know when you start a project and you're like, oh my God, this is so much bigger than I thought it would be?
Yeah.
It's that.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know.
I ordered samples and I ordered 52 items.
Yeah.
And
doing a giveaway soon, maybe.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's very exciting.
I'm wearing one right now. This is one of the looks.
Cool. Put it up to the microphone for the listeners.
For those
that sounds California made.
It's a nice, I want to say it's a nice green, but there's probably more specific
teal. This has been washed about 5 times as well, and it hasn't lost the color.
That's nice. Awesome. It's like, is there a design that you're like super stoked about?
Well, there's like one that's based on the original Donkey Kong arcade game.
Mm.
There's one that's based on TIE Fighters. Oh. There's another one that's borrowing into PlayStation a little bit.
Mm.
And I'm just begging to get sued. Mm. So yeah, get it while you can,
it's
guys.
It's a fun game to play. Also, I want to give a shout out to our Reddit because Noah Fuerte and other users like to put together a What We're Into This Week thread.
Yes.
And I'm going to read one that when you guys were reading off your powers.
Yep.
I read it and my eyes got really wide. So
you were paying attention to us. You were reading this. Right? Go on.
I listened. From Will Frick. They write, I broke both my heels recently, so I've been riding a lot with my buds and playing through the new Destiny 2 expansion. It's surprisingly good. Followed up with Noah Fuerte writing.
Hold on, really quickly. Are they playing? What did they say? What they're playing on? Because I would totally like a team for Xbox.
No, they do not say. But Xbox, I did want to. I'm going to explore this a little bit because Noah Fuerte replies with, "How do you like the Destiny 2? Like Destiny 2, my friend." my friend, he was kind of disappointed with it. Also, how the heel did you break both your ankles?
Yeah.
And Wilfrick responded with, it was disappointing at first, but it's getting better over time. It's slowly getting better. Also, nice pun. But I jumped into the shallow part of a pool. I forgot where the shallow end was, and boom, hit the bottom of the pool immediately. Hit the bottom of the pool immediately and messed up my heels. Wilfrick, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Tweet at me. Sorry.
Man, things are really afoot in your life right now.
So have you been playing Destiny too?
I did. It's so much better. Like, there's a few games now, and I kind of love the fact that, you know, original gaming, well, for me, on the Nintendo 64 was a local co-op experience. You needed friends to really enjoy it. And they're trying to do the same here, but it's a multiplayer arena now. There's just Sea of Thieves, Destiny 2. It's only better when you have a solid group of friends. Cool. It's not a solo experience anymore.
I think I'm kind of done with multiplayer games.
I'm just personally. I don't have any friends in my friend list.
I have not turned on my friend list on my PlayStation. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to do online gaming.
Did you add me ever?
I haven't added anybody. No. To be fair, there's another PlayStation in my apartment that is not added to my PlayStation. So there's no one there.
Yeah.
I'm like so short on friends to play with. I'm actually playing Overwatch with my ex-boyfriend still. That's where I'm at.
Cheers.
That's why I haven't dove into Overwatch or anything, because it's like I just don't need to have 13-year-olds schooling me online.
That's why I can't play Fortnite or...
Have more free time. Good job.
Well, I'm just reminded constantly that my mom has slept with a lot of people.
I know, and they won't let you live that down. Yeah. They always
like,
put
really,
that out there.
You
yeah.
too? Mama. She's very promiscuous. Mama. Likes the young ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I get it from, right?
That's fair. And you mentioned Barry.
Barry on HBO. DJ, you've mentioned this show before. Mm-hmm. No, we talked about this show. I remember I tried to sell you on it, and then we always do this, like I'll bring up a show and then sometimes like DJ's on the fence about it, but then he watches it way faster than me and he falls in love with it. It happened with American Vandal.
Yeah, which is so good.
It's that show about, like, it's a true crime thing about a guy who was framed for drawing dicks at a school, and then it turns into this really big think piece about how we view ourselves in like the frame of high school and also society, like can we break out of the mold that people put us in. And it's like, and the joke ends after the first episode and it becomes an actual investigative show, which is really
except
cool.
Except for this one teacher that is consistently hilarious.
So he was in a Nuclear Family sketch, which was really cool.
I'm glad you knew which teacher I was mentioning.
Yes, oh, of course. He was in the Bachelor. Guy? No, in the Bachelor, that would be really funny. In the Bachelorette sketch, he was the guy with the curly hair, and he played like kind of like the stoner dude, and it's kind of the same character he plays in American Vandal, but
that's
it becomes
cool.
Really good. But anyways, Barry, the premise is it's Bill Hader. We've talked about it before, but quick refresher. He is a hitman that follows a new mark in to LA, and this mark is taking an acting class, and he goes in to sit in and watch the class, and then he accidentally gets pulled on stage to read a line with this guy on stage, and he really likes it. Mm-hmm. He really likes being an actor, and so he wants to pursue acting, but he's like, wait, you're a hitman. You can't be in a commercial and like then go murder people, and like you rub the joke. It's a great joke. He's like, oh, I don't know if I do commercials.
Yeah.
Like it's so funny, because at first it's a funny joke of like, what if a hitman was like an actor, and then like the show really explores like, oh, this is a super fucked up, he's not like a super good person even though he wants to be.
Yeah.
If you're a hitman, you're probably not a good person, even though you can see the softer side of him,
like Deadshot
from that's a good example. But
it's interesting because it starts off and it's Bill Hader and you're rooting for him, you know what I mean, but by the end of the first season you're like, oh, Barry's not a good dude.
And also it kind of touches on a couple different things, which like it does a great job of showing that actors live in a bubble. there's a great joke. It's like, we were ignorant. We took a BuzzFeed quiz and it says we're all living our own bubble. All the actors who play actors do a good job at playing bad actors who are so self-obsessed. And it's like, it makes you hate them, but also it's funny seeing Barry, a really normal dude under like most circumstances, trying to understand and deal with and kind of make them kind of like him because he wants to be liked in this group. Anyways, don't need to say much more. It's 8 episodes, 20 minutes a piece.
Super short. I like the way it handles violence, because it's very direct, to the point where it can be either kind of cool because it is so efficient, but also hilarious, but also terrifying. It ranges all over that spectrum, and just a lot of really great performances with Henry Winkler
and the Fonz.
He also gets the most soul-crushing scene in that whole show because
and it's so short. It's the intro to an episode,
Because everybody there wants to be famous. And it's this really stark reminder that it's like, that's not a majority of people, you're just going to be in this class for the rest of your life, and that's basically it.
Yeah, and if you want to just do community theater, that's fine. But, like, yeah, this is... It's tough. Anyways, but, like,
recommend.
I don't want... Recommend it. All right. We've been fucking around. Let's talk about... Barry. Wait, I mean, sorry. So,
talk about the biggest blockbuster of the summer.
Have you guys seen a lot of people taking photos of their empty theaters when they're watching Solo?
I have not seen that, but...
I have.
That immediately reminded me of when we saw Inhumans on IMAX, and it was us and two other fucking people in that enormous IMAX theater. I can't believe
we did that to entertain
as a
you.
Business. That's the biggest waste of money we've ever done. Was of watching that
as a business. That's the biggest waste of money Marvel's ever done.
100%, 100%.
Yeah, our theater for Solo was not as packed as, say, Infinity War. Mm-hmm. If you're making comparisons, also. The response, usually when we ask questions, like, we get a ton of questions. This one was not, there wasn't as much excitement about this movie.
I've been dragging my feet from day one. Like, we started talking about this when Sam and I were doing Nerd Stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we talked about Alden Ehrenreich back then. And I was like, I can't believe we've talked about this movie.
For so long.
For so long.
Yeah.
So long.
So long.
So this is spoiler free right now.
Solo dies. I rewind that. Sorry. Okay, my bad.
So spoiler free, Maud, you've been talking about this for years now.
Yeah.
What are your spoiler free thoughts on Solo?
I always came into this movie with a lot of trepidation. Like, we reported on all the issues with the movie, and I think that has really, like, it gave me a bit of bias going into it, and it wasn't a good one. It was, okay, cool, you lost your two directors, you know, Chris Miller and Phil Lord, the team up that give you the funniest movies out there. It wasn't working. Alden Ehrenreich needed an acting coach. Ron Howard came in and had to reshoot like more than 30% of the movie. Hearing all of these things, I was like, oh damn, this is not good. Like, this movie is going to be not great. And so I went in with that, and it wasn't great, but for all, like, a lot of different reasons. Like, I think there's an expectation that Alden Ehrenreich is supposed to immediately make you feel like it's Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so hard to do.
Yeah.
And I actually interviewed Ron Howard about that, and he said it was never supposed to be an impersonation.
Yeah.
He's supposed to borrow from and be his own thing. And I'm like, then why the hell would you make a movie based on a character that we've spent 30 years seeing?
Yeah.
You know, so that was always a tricky part. I think once I'd seen it, everyone's like, what was it like? And I went, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think everyone's kind of on the same page, though. It's like, it's kind of like movies, let's not gonna compare them, but like when Justice League came out, at most people were like, it's fine. People were like, I didn't love this movie, but I'm fine with it. And same with this movie. For me, I've said this on New Rockstars, I'll say it here, I enjoyed as much as I enjoyed Rampage. There are parts of Rampage I really like, and then there's parts of it that I really didn't need at all, and also sometimes don't make sense at all.
I think the specification that it wasn't great, I think it's interesting, because I think that applies, for me at least, to most blockbusters. It's hard for like a Hollywood blockbuster to be great. Most of them, excitement varies, fan excitement varies, but as far as like movie, the as a movie, it's like they're fine. They come in, they give you the thrill, and this did that. This did what most big tentpole franchise blockbusters did to me. It had a couple cool set pieces. It had a lot of fun visuals. For me, what made this stand out is I actually thought the cast was really solid. Like, I was surprised at how much I liked. I will say, you kind of start with one crew, and I was really on board with that crew. And then we changed crews, and that's kind of when the movie was like, man, now I kind of don't care, because I like that group of people.
Same.
And now, even though this new group of people has a lot of characters from future Star Wars movies,
and that,
I kind of don't care.
They work together maybe in this pair and this pair, but then when you see them all together, you're like,
man,
they're fine. Also, there's another parallel between Rampage and Star. I just thought about this. In Rampage, you see the game in it, and you're like, wait, the game Rampage exists, the tower game exists, and in Solo, this is the littlest spoiler to put in a spoiler review, you hear the Empire March song,
Imperial March,
play in the movie, and you're like,
wait a second.
That doesn't make... Wait, this song exists? Anyways, but for me, for my review, I enjoyed this more than I thought I was going to, mainly because I thought I was just going to not have a good time. Yep. And so I had an okay time.
Same.
And it made some things important that I didn't think was going to be that it, or correcting myself, it made me care about some things that I thought I wasn't going to care about, that was established maybe in like a previous movie. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Yep. Chewbacca, this is so cool that he has so much room to shine. And he does. And yep. I really do.
He gets one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
He has a lot. I really like a lot of the stuff that they do with his character. And you're right, there is a crew, and there's some in original characters that they introduced in this movie that I'm like, oh, wait, I remember why. Like, one of my favorite parts of Star Trek, Star Wars, excuse me, are these original characters that I'm like, oh my God, they're so creative, and I like what they're doing with them.
And then you start hearing a tick.
Because you're like, because there's only so many places a character like this can go in a movie like this. It's either like, either they die or they're a traitor. It's like, there's like never, they never get to live and be happy. It's this or this, and they don't get to move anywhere else between those two.
There's a lot of like, betrayals and like twit, and part of it is because it's supposed to be kind of a heist movie, but part of it's interesting because my major. What keeps this movie from being great for me is a good chunk of it feels like a checklist. Like, hey, do you want to know where Han got his gun? Do you want to know where Han got his name?
Ding.
Do you want to know? And it's, do you want to know how Han met Chewie / Lando / whatever? Ding. But
you want to know what the Kessel run is?
To be fair, I could make the same thing about another major blockbuster that came out this summer. Like, it's like, do you want to see these two characters meet? Here it is. And it's a lot of our, especially now, because movies have gotten so fan servicey, it's like, here's, you want these things? Here it is, here it is, here it is, here it is. Well, what story are you telling? These things, here's the things.
Okay, we have been a little negative. Let's list off a few positives that we have with the movie.
I liked Alden Ehrenreich a lot. I was very impressed that there was so many scenes that I was looking at his performance, and I was like, I could 100% see Harrison Ford doing this, because it wasn't an impression. It was taking the mannerisms and the attitude of a young, still cocksure Han Solo, but not having to experience to back it up the same way the Han we meet. And he impressed me a lot. And if you've seen him in Hail Caesar, he's tremendous. He's a tremendous performer, and I thought he made some really smart decision. I think Harrison Ford himself said he made some smart choices, and I agree with that. Mon's not having it.
I'll tell you what.
Looks like she's going to call Tim over.
You could tell he was focused on trying to land a couple of things. It wasn't natural and effortless for him. He had to apply a lot of effort to get there. And the number one thing is, Harrison Ford has a deeper receptive in his voice. And Alden Ehrenreich, his natural speaking voice is like an octave higher. So you can see him like trying to bring it down here.
Younger people, it's like helium.
He's like
10 years from now, my voice is going to be, you can't like, even hear it.
So when
Alden Ehrenreich's Han Solo is like 2 years younger. Alden Ehrenreich's like 2 years younger than Harrison Ford was when he took that role. He's younger.
Exactly. And he like had a growth spurt when he was 23. Yeah. Like, no, and he looks so petite. He looks so small.
Yeah.
He's bite-sized.
Yeah. Like, Han's like, well, Harrison Ford's like 6'1", 6'2", and Alden's like 5'9".
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could tell.
Yeah.
And
What else did you like in the movie?
You know what? I like the realization that Disney and Star Wars is no longer catering for someone like me. And I've accepted that.
Wait, if they're not catering for somebody like you,
they've already got me. I'm going to see the movie no matter what.
Who are they catering for? Because there's
the new audience. There's the people that haven't seen the original.
Here's the thing, though. There's something we're going to touch on in spoilers that like was a moment for me where I'm like, oh, there is no casual audience anymore. Because if you were just a casual person, there's a twist at the end of the movie that is like, if you just casually watch Star Wars, this would make no fucking sense.
But it's a 14-second scene, and I don't think that that's going to stop them from enjoying the rest of the movie. And in fact, I went on premiere night, and I had a big chat with hardcore fans about it and people that have either never seen it before or never really liked or enjoyed Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that love Star Wars and are huge fans, they were shell-shocked. They were like trying to compress, and they were trying to be able to, you know, articulate why they felt empty.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the really casual fans that were like, that was awesome. I loved it. And I obviously sit in with the people where I was just like, wait a second. What did I actually get from that? What did I even learn from that?
Mm-hmm.
Being a hardcore fan that has really like been inundated with the new canon, and I actually know backstory galore, I'm here going, it's so surface level. I had to be sitting there going, yay, Tandy Newton mentioned Bosk. Fuck yeah. Like, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
And that's all I get.
Yeah.
Well, We can get in this discussion in spoilers. I'm glad those were the positives you had of the movie.
Sam, what were positives you had?
I really, really liked the Lando L3 team up. They were unstoppable, much better than Alden and Chewie, and I'll tell you why. Han was just like, hey, I rescued you. I need someone who's strong. Basically, I'm using you so that I don't die.
And Chewie goes, he barks. Yeah.
And that's it. Whereas Lando and L3 had an intellectual relationship. They had each other's back. It made more sense. They were a unit, like a force together. I wish that hardcore nerd here, and I think this is going into, no, it's going into spoiler, but I just needed a little bit more of a reasoning why these two would stick together. I needed it to be deeper than, well, why not? There's no other reason.
Yeah.
You know, like a life debt.
Mm.
So Wookiees, if you save their life, they are indebted to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that,
I guess.
Could have done it, but they didn't.
Well, they didn't do it.
Sorry.
Well, they kind of did
you,
it.
Oh, really?
Kind of. Sam, what did you like?
I like the aliens.
there were some cool creature designs. I really wish we spent the time and money and care that we're allowed to spend in Star Wars movies and other sci-fi properties and like original sci-fi
because
properties.
Because fans make it such a big, maybe it's a directive from Lucasfilm of how many practical aliens they have to have. Like they hire real aliens. No, yeah. they really put in a lot of effort
and
for the creativity and making them look like this is a, oh, this is how this creature would move.
Yeah.
Like there's a Cyclops. There's two scenes where you have like gambling, like a poker adjacent game.
Something we've never seen in Star Wars movies before.
Exactly. They've never seen gambling of any sort in these movies. What a great fresh take.
Casino.
Yeah. In multiple different movies. Yeah. But those scenes were really cool because you got to see that you saw the physicality of the different aliens, and I thought that was really fun. And the different worlds you go to, you fall into different, like, Star Wars only has, like, three that they go to. It's like, you go to the coal planet, you go to the underground metal factory place, and then you go to the desert place. It's like, that's yeah. There's where you go.
Yeah.
Them's are the that's the deal you get because that's where most of, that's the cheapest places to shoot.
Yeah,
I get it. But I enjoyed those aliens. I enjoyed as well Alden's performance. It just at a certain point I stopped thinking about Han, about like, oh, Harrison Ford. Also, again, not a hardcore fan, so I was able to detach more from it.
Yeah.
Donald Glover, for me, sometimes it was harder because I was like, I love Donald Glover so much that maybe I put too much pressure on him in my head. So
I think
sometimes,
I'm the same place.
Sometimes
he
I was like...
too much pressure on himself.
Yeah, because also, like, Lando means a lot to a lot of people, and because there's literally, like, nothing about him for, like, people who just watch movies, so they want to know more. But it turned out to be just more of exactly what you already saw, which was, at the very least with Han, you got to see, like, this is where he came from, this is where he went, this is his interactions with other people. With Lando, it was, like, him L3, and then him...
Gamble.
Yeah. But I did enjoy his physicality, but I was bummed that two really cool original characters didn't get more screen time.
Yeah.
And
that's
I did find out one is played by Jon Favreau, yes. which
you
was really
right.
cool.
You called it in
yeah.
a thing.
It's Jon Favreau, or it was like Joe Pesci Light, or... Jon Favreau has a similar speaking voice to... It's like a fast-talking New York... blanking. I'll
let
throw it to
know
the audience.
But yeah, you mentioned something cool. So I'm kind of lukewarm on the new Star Wars, except for the production design in all of these movies is so, again, it's just be cool to see other movies be allowed to take the care in crafting their worlds, because there's a worm alien in this movie that's just so cool.
It is.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks like it might be practical, and the fact that I can't tell is a testament to
they
the
shot
care it, put into
they
it.
Shot in a very specific location where you could hide if there was a little bit of CGI. Very yeah. smart. That was a bit, and it just added another, like, when that scene progressed, it added another layer of like, oh, that's why this whole place looks this way. It's like yeah. because of the physical attributes of this creature. And I'm like, oh, cool.
And that's something I want from Star Wars is like, oh, that's something I haven't seen before. Like that's something I enjoyed in Rogue One when they had the city that was in between two asteroids. Mm. Stuff like that.
Okay.
You know?
And also Paul Bettany. He was my favorite character.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. And like, and just because I like seeing him have fun. Like it was near in the third act, he has this great back and forth with Alden of like talking about like the MacGuffin of the movie. It's like you're talking about this other blue energy stuff. Trust me, not spoilers.
No.
But also earlier you see what kind of threat he is, and also weirdly whatever alien he is or whatever he's got going on, it has like it changes throughout scenes, which is really cool. Well, he's got I don't feel like this is spoilers, but he's got scars on his face and in his eyes are kind of bloodshot.
He looks like a deflated puffer fish.
A little bit. Yeah. But he, like, there's elements of that that changes when he gets more angry or, like, if he, like, starts getting stressed out, it's cool that that changes.
I love that. Yep.
And, which I really like that too. And I do like the performance from Emilia Clarke.
Yes, I did.
Regardless of what I feel about her character, that's a different, get into that. I think we're coming up to spoilers now. But I did enjoy her acting. I think we said this, acting across the board, I feel like, was good. Some people who have to lean more into impersonations, that could definitely, you can start poking holes in that more, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. you should, because they are living up to a character.
Mm-hmm. One and I'd found two things that I liked.
All right, there you go.
Go on.
So I really like the wardrobe design. I love the fact that they were having a retro approach.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, you know, they're subtly reminding you this is before the 1970s music, movies.
Yeah.
So you've got afros, you've got 70s style, and I really liked how they kind of mixed a retro feel in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, especially when they looked at like monitors and stuff like that, and they kind of had that old like tube television feel to them. It was nice.
Cool. I dug that
again.
A lot.
The aesthetic, the production design, just on point with all. It worth watching these movies just for that stuff.
Yes, and the cinematography I thought was really, really.
There's
well done.
One shot of, I guess it's not. It's probably not a spoiler of Han. It's iconic from other movies, but where he's shooting and he backs into the Millennium Falcon. But the way they shot it was like, that was so
gorgeous,
cool.
Wasn't it? And they really utilized that prop of the Falcon and like going weaving in and out. It was actually really beautiful.
Yeah. And there was some really production design also goes into when our crew is going to like the main fight is for the planet or for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The way we see different parts of space and the way that they talk about it felt like the most we've ever talked about how space works for this universe, because it's always just like bing bing, we're going from planet to planet to planet. But like there's a lot of stuff, there should be a lot of stuff in between if you've figured out how to do interplanetary travel.
Yeah.
So I do like that we explore that a little bit, and it's like some places are super duper dangerous, but there's a big plot hole about one of those places that we can go to, and we can talk about that in a second.
Well, before we go into are we ready to kind of do our ratings? And
let's do ratings.
Okay.
Unless you had another point you wanted to get in.
No, I was just seeing if we were ready to do that. I was thinking, because we like to choose a fun number, he does the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs? Is that
under 12?
Less than.
If you round
rounding down.
I liked that.
Yeah. If you round down.
It's obviously, like fabricating the number a bit. And I was like, that makes sense. That's character on point. Yeah.
Yeah. So out of 12, out of 12, what would we rate Solo, A Star Wars Story?
12.
8.75.
And
which sounds for a second, sounded really high to me, but then I remember we're talking about
it's
12.
It's above average.
Okay.
Yeah. So if 6 is average, 6 is technically a 5. So then I was going to give it a 6.75 out of 10. So I think it's.
What do you think letter grade that is? Your 8.75.
Oh, she's.
C plus B minus?
Okay.
I think that's exactly where I'd be too. You said 6.75? I think I enjoyed it
out of 10.
Out of 10.
So that's I'm doing 8 point.
Oh yeah, 8 point.
8.25.
I'd give it slightly higher. I'd give it like a 9 or 9.5. Then.
Because you are less of a Star Wars fan,
yeah,
so you therefore by my Garrett scale that we're using for Star Wars talk.
Of course.
Yeah, the less of a fan you are, the more you enjoy.
And that's not bad.
The Garrett scale. Say with me on 3, 1, 2, 3.
The Garrett scale.
Yeah, I'd give it a solid B minus. I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Take a swing at those numbers.
Have we determined that it's at 7.5? Is that what we've determined?
No. Up.
8.
8.25?
Cool. I said 8 to 8. Like a 9.5.
Someone who can maths, can you tell
us? That's no one here.
Nah.
No.
That's no one here.
Danny Boy gives an 8, and they say it's a fun movie. Enjoy it for what it's for what it is, not for what it could be.
Ooh, what a great headspace.
And a lot of people are agreeing that Paul Bettany is awesome. That's awesome.
Paul Bettany will never be as good as he is in A Knight's Tale.
I've never seen him in A Knight's Tale.
Neither have I.
You've never seen A Knight's Tale?
No, we've never seen him in A Knight's Tale.
No, we'd cut out that part of the movie. I don't know that movie.
He plays Geoffrey Chaucer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, guys, it's
Geoffrey Chaucer, you say.
Well, he's like a famous like poet and writer. He was like the Shakespeare of his generation, basically.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, guys, it's a really great movie. It's like painfully miscast. Like, half the movie, just, like, doesn't make sense. You've got Shannon Sossaman, who's, like, the most modern-looking girl on the face of the planet, and she's playing, like, you know, the high lady, basically, of the times.
And that's...
And Heath Ledger looks like he's just jumped out of the surf, and all of a sudden he's a knight. And you're like, sure, mate.
Now I know what movie you're talking about. Yeah. I was like, I felt like this is the Heath Ledger one.
Yeah.
And I've always seen that at Blockbuster when I was a kid. It was always there.
Yeah.
Great
movie. And I never rented it. We'd always rented those, like, B-movie knockoffs of... Do you remember that at Blockbuster? They'd still do it now. It's just on Netflix. But, like, when a popular movie came out, there'd be, like, a flood of, like, B-movie versions
of it. Atlantic Rim.
Atlantic Rim, that's on Hulu, and you can watch it. My friend's in it. It's so not good. But when Da Vinci Code came out, there was, like, death in front of the Mona Lisa. And it was like, what are you talking about? This is so stupid. And it was just, like, a Photoshop, like, dead body in front of a
Botticelli Code.
Yeah. Pretty good. Really quick, before we keep going in the episode, I wanted to give a quick shout-out to someone who actually helps us make this episode and this show work.
Yes.
Our friends over at Simple Contacts. Now, Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contacts lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century. I've used them, guys. So I got some info I want to give you, and I'm going to tell you about my experience with them because it's been really easy, super helpful. Now, if you need to renew your prescription, you can just take a 5-minute vision test from your phone or computer. Right there, on the go. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor, so it's legit. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contact, you know, information, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. And hey, if you have an unexpired prescription, you can just upload a photo or your doctor's information and order your lenses. That's how easy it is. It's so convenient. There are a million things demanding your time nowadays, and contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. With Simple Contacts, you can renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. No more doctor's offices or waiting rooms, all right? And it's so fast. Like we said before, it's a vision test that's self-guided and takes about 5 minutes. Think about how much time you're going to be saving by not making an appointment and getting to the eye doctor, taking time. It's designed by doctors, and licensed ophthalmologists review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. And they offer all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you don't have to worry about anything. Also, Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store. All right? Save some money. The vision test is only $20 compared to that of an appointment, which without insurance could cost over $200. And the contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, we're offering a promotion to our listeners.
What?
Now, I've tried them out. It was amazing how quick it was. I did it on my computer because I was a little nervous to do it on my phone. But then I went back and did it on my phone so I could reorder some more. I have so many lenses now. It's so nice. It was shockingly easy. It talks to you and it just shows you what you need to do.
Dope.
You walk back from your computer, you read out what you need to, you know, read, and then it will just measure like what it will like record your findings and then send it to a doctor so
that's
they can review
so great.
It. It's awesome.
So to save $30 on your lenses, just go to simplecontacts.com/answers or just enter our code answers at checkout. Again, that's simplecontacts.com/answers or just enter our code answers at checkout. It's so easy.
Saving $30, that's not a bad deal.
Exactly.
And just make it clear, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. That's still important. But if you need to re-up your prescription ASAP, sign up with Simple Contacts. Use our deal. We got you covered. Come back to the show. All right, spoiler talk.
Hold on, real quick. I'm gonna get my rant out of the way. They need to fucking quit it with these dice. The dice have never fucking mattered, and all of a sudden, because in Last Jedi, Rian Johnson's like, no, this is a big deal. Now it's like, there's like 6 different times where they zoom in on the fucking dice. The dice don't fucking matter. I think they were in one shot in A New Hope. They don't fucking matter. Stop trying to make him a thing.
I like
Stop trying to make dice happen, Gretchen.
Jeez.
Hey, I'm going to put this out there. I was fine with them. At first, I was like...
No, I think I agree. It's a bit of overkill.
At the beginning, I rolled my eyes. I was like, Jesus. And then later, when they do the switch up, I was like, oh, it's sweet. I mean, it feels like fans, remember, you're now in
wasn't
on a joke.
Wasn't he supposed to use those dice to have won the Falcon from Lando or some stupid dog shit garbage? Fuck those dice. I don't give a shit about those dice. I did like... You know what surprised me? Because I was ambivalent going in this movie. Two things that surprised me.
One.
I was actually surprised that I enjoyed how he got his last name.
Yeah.
Because I thought that when they were doing it, I'm like, I wanted to roll my eyes, and I'm like, I actually like the way the scene's playing out.
Yeah.
And then I liked the scene where he met Chewbacca.
Chewbacca definitely.
It was a nod to the Rancor scene.
Yeah. When they're the monster, and you're like, oh, what kind of alien is it going to be? And then you see the feet, and I'm like, what the hell?
It's just a muddy, chewy.
Yeah, I was like, that's cool.
Man, that actor went through so... They put him in every worst place to wear an all-fur suit. It's like, you're going to be in the mud? I was like, excuse me? It's all the mud? Yeah, you're the first time playing Chewbacca, and yeah, you get to be in the mud, and also desert planet. It's like, no, it's also by the ocean, so you might get wet, too. It's good.
A bit of salt spray.
Yeah.
I interviewed him, and I had to say it. I was like, dude, how often do people comment about your height? He was like, oh, every day. Yeah. He goes, it's especially in elevators, that's when people will bring it up the most. Yeah. Oh, you are tall.
Oh, he's like Swedish or something, right?
Yeah.
He seems...
Junie?
There was a... We found out recently that, you know, Clifford the Big Red Dog, the children's character? Yeah. The reason why he's so big is because his owner, a little girl, loves him so much, so he grew. And I'm like, that's probably why he's so tall, too. And
then, he's just so loved.
He's so loved. He's such a nice guy.
I mean, I'm nearly 6 feet, so...
There you go.
Mm.
There it is.
But, spoilers. I wanted to say, oh yes, I'm bummed that Rio Durant, which was the forearm pilot that they had, had to fucking die.
You know what?
And L3 had to fucking die.
When we went to Last Jedi,
there
was a tall ass boy that came up, and you and I had a conversation about it because it's rare that somebody's taller than me. And so it's always a weird experience for me because I'm not used to looking up to people. I think it was him. I think it was the new Chewbacca actor because he was also... Yeah. I think it's that boy.
Yeah. Did you meet him?
Yes, it was.
I got to... And I didn't know.
We didn't talk to him. We were just stunned.
Weirdly, I was feeling weirdly threatened and I could have been hanging out with new Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah. Now you know what that's like.
He actually did all the voices for it. Like, he made all the... Yeah, cool. So he would get... Apparently, like, he actually was written lines of dialogue. So Kathleen Kennedy would, like, obviously it's like chewy noises, and then what it was in English that he was trying to articulate, so he knew how to emotively get that across.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And did he know how to do... Oh, you interviewed him. Did he know how to do that before, or did he have to teach himself?
He practiced a lot.
I don't know.
But now he can effortlessly... He's teaching me how to do it.
I follow him on Twitter, and he's like, I do that every day now. I can't help myself.
Well, he said, I have to practice. He goes, 7 minutes. You're 7 minutes a day, every single day. You just have to try it.
And there's like, one scene where they ask him a question and Chewie's making Wookiee sounds for what feels like 5 minutes. It's like, he's like,
where are you from, Chewie? What did he say?
It just keeps going. I'm with you.
You could have put subtitles on the screen.
Rio was forearm guy, right?
Yeah.
And then Tandy Newton's character.
What's her name again?
Tandy Newton.
You've got a computer in front of you.
Where? Oh.
they were that crew. Everything. I actually was surprisingly. I enjoyed the movie through the train heist. I really liked the train heist. I thought that was really fun and dynamic.
Tandy die?
Seriously, what a pointless death.
Yeah, and then it turns out
trying to articulate that they got it.
Hey, remember those guys that basically killed two of our crew members? One of them was the love of your life, apparently, Woody Harrelson. Guess what? They're good guys.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, technically, they didn't kill her. She did it. She pulled the trigger.
Yeah, but you know, but if I were
Woody,
if I
were... how in love these two characters are and how much I love them together, and it's interracial and it's so sick, and they've got Val. They've got all these in jokes, and then she's like, all right, guys, this is a real big job. So, right, let's make it happen. And then it's for nothing.
And then it's nothing. And then like, Woody Harrelson doesn't seem to care.
Nah.
It's never brought up again.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on New Rockstars that maybe it seemed like there was going to be importance to who Pirate Lady is, that it was going to be Val and Beckett's daughter.
Child.
Yeah. And then that... But it just felt like they were setting that up.
Silly.
No,
that would have been
off.
Yeah.
That would have been silly if it was the daughter.
You know, mainly because when they're talking about, like, oh, are you planning for so-and-so? And they're like, they don't even mention the name of the pirate, even though if it was a pirate, you should tell your crew that maybe pirates will come.
No, they did. There was a whole lengthy conversation before the train heist.
That they talked about pirates?
Yeah, they're like, this guy should be coming. He's like, no, nobody else should know. The pirates will definitely not come. And that's when the pirates showed up. She's like, I told you. Yeah.
Did you fall asleep in that part?
I mean, a lot happened. Like, a lot happened.
Yeah.
I think there was a little payoff, and the third act was... I mean, I was talking with Sam about this on New Rockstars. It's split into two things, and one part of it's really, really great because there's unpredictable plot twists that I did not see coming, and in a very predictable movie, that was exciting for me.
Yeah.
But then there's this like exposition about the rebellion starting for the first time, and hell, if I was in that conversation, I'd be like, snooze, I don't even care. I'm not excited about the rebellion. You're boring. Shut up.
Also,
I didn't know what the hell Crimson Dawn or whatever the goddamn gangs were for half the actually all the movie. They're like, Crimson Dawn, we have to talk about it. It's like, I don't know what
it is. I need a visual, you know. All I can see, like the Jabba the Hutt is so good because, you know, it's the mafia lord basically. Yeah. and it's threatening, and he's this wad, and he's got so much power. Like, and that's the thing. For a giant turd to be able to be threatening, and it doesn't even have arms, yeah. like, that is powerful to me.
Yeah.
And, like, Paul Bettany does a really great job. But
that's
it's
the
like,
symbol of power in your head. It's his job of the heart.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it didn't really... For me... Really bad. My thing that I didn't enjoy was that it was super, super surface level. It didn't get deep with characters. It didn't get deep with purpose. It didn't get deep with shit.
Yeah, they never talk about Chewie and all those people that go down into that pit.
They said he ate him. We don't know. He might have just crushed him to death.
Did they say they ate him?
He totally ate him.
There's a shell of a
Hey,
soup.
Listen, Chewie wasn't willing to eat that pork, even though he already cooked it and killed it, all right?
I mean, that's later. He grew up.
Chewie's a survivor,
Chewie
okay?
should have eaten that pork, is all I'm saying.
He 100% ate it. After you cooked and killed the pork,
go ahead and eat it.
He just didn't do it in front of them. Okay. He was like, oh, turn around.
I'm going to choose to believe
He went into the bathroom in the Millennium Falcon. I didn't like seeing Millennium Falcon like really clean and like really like brand
well,
new.
Well, it's Lando's take on it.
Yeah.
I'm also glad that they didn't make it, they allowed it to not look like the Millennium Falcon at first. Like it had different things.
It's a different ship, different owner. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of stuff is like, no, it's got to look the same or else fans are going to freak out about it. And it's like, no, it's earlier. Let it be different.
There's a cape room.
Yeah, speaking exactly. of, I hope that cape room is still in there. I hope like
it's boarded up.
I hope there's a scene in episode 9 where they're trying to find a spot and the cape room, just all those capes are still just there.
Yeah, they use them as disguises to get out. And they're expensive. And I like that joke. And you're right. The L3 and Lando had a more convincing relationship. And I really liked L3. And of course, she had a fucking die.
L3, a little bit on the nose. It's like she had one agenda and they pushed it a little bit too hard.
Equal rights.
It was also weird to me that she got to have her robot rebellion at the same time Chewie found the Wookiees.
And yet one was way more important than the other one. Yeah. And that's the other thing. And so also Chewie's like, oh, my people, finally. I've been literally a prisoner where I've been a toy and entertainment for someone for so long. And all my life goal is to save my people. I see my people. All right, peace. I'm going to go with this guy who I just met. What's his name again?
Well, I think
he can't say it right, so he doesn't know.
I think he resolved the issue with his people. We don't know because I don't speak Wookiee.
But all people? There were three people there.
Yeah, there were his people, though.
Man, that other Wookiee, that was like...
It looked like Wild Boy. Remember, Steve did a bit off of, what was it, Wild Boy and something else. It was an old, like, 70s show.
It looks like the original
show.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Apes. Makeup. It looks like someone put on one of those masks you could buy.
Yeah.
It was a little rough. And you're right. And also, wait, I'm confused how droids work sometimes because it's like, wait, there's obedience discs on them. It's like, couldn't you just
program it?
Couldn't you just program the robot to do robot things?
Also, apparently, humans and robots are able to do things.
Get sexy?
And I don't know how that works for the robot.
Are they programmed to feel good?
That was a good joke.
It was a good
joke.
Also, but I feel bad for L3 because her whole thing is about freedom, and now she's trapped in the Millennium Falcon forever.
When we were on New Rockstars, like I think it was Philip who brought up. It's kind of sweet because like part of her is now in the ship, and the ship's kind of alive. And I was like, yeah, but she wanted to be free, like a free being, do her own thing. And it's like, no, now she just it. By episode 8, she's in the trash heap, and she gets picked up by a couple kids.
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
Not super great. Also, plot hole for me, tentacle octopus gigantic thing.
Yeah.
Cool moment when it gets sucked into the maw.
Too long.
And it, way too long. It took forever to get into the goddamn sink drain. But it's kind of cool that all of its skin got ripped off of its skeleton. That was cool.
I missed that.
But also, it was sitting right next to it for millennia. And like, it didn't just scoot a little bit. It's the size of a planet. And like, it didn't just get a little bit closer and get sucked in. Plot stuff, kind of dumb. I did like the castle. I will say, though, the way that the Kessel Run, the way they get around it, because I know you're the one who explained to me how the Kessel Run like works. That's why it's like he did it under 12 parsecs, but like parsecs is
not time.
Distance,
it's
not time.
Yeah. So he basically took the world's most risky shortcut that no one even knew existed.
Yeah, which is cool, which is awesome. And I like that it's a cool way of integrating into the story. And I'm out of all the lore that we explored for Han, that was my favorite thing. If Chewie and him were already friends at the beginning of this movie, people would be like, but it's the origin movie. I would have been fine with that, but I'm glad we explored that and at least I did feel some stress with that scene.
It's interesting in the new Star Wars world, it's like we're slavishly adhering to practical creatures, but also giant CG squid monsters are now
there's
a thing in every one of
these
movies.
Oh my god, there's always
now.
A bigger fish, you
yeah,
know?
Ever since episode 7, and we got the whatever that thing was rolling around the tunnel.
No,
it's like we got him in Rogue
Phantom
One.
Menace.
We got it. What's the squid thing in?
When they go underwater and there's all of those giant creatures eating each other one by one.
Bigfoot Wild Boy.
Yeah. That is. Bigfoot and Wild Boy. It looks like Bigfoot from Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Yeah,
that one extra Wookiee. Okay, we've talked around a little bit. As a Darth Maul fan,
yes, I love that moment.
I enjoyed that he was included. However, I was like, is this ever going to get paid off? Didn't the TV show already resolve?
I think we got to
Darth Maul. And also, if you're a casual fan, how the fuck do you interpret this? Because you're like, wait, that guy from all the way back in episode one? Like, if you haven't paid attention to the shows, you just watch a movie when it comes out, you're like, wait,
to be
what?
Fair, every person watching this now that's like really invested probably was, besides classic fans, they grew up when the Noom trilogy came out. So we
every
all.
Every Maul is.
And everyone gets the Maul face paint when you go to the county fair.
I'm not saying that they don't know who Maul is. I'm saying, how the fuck is he alive?
No, we don't have to know that. We don't have to know that. At all, because it can always that we get that that person's not actually dead tease in name a genre that happens.
That's why it's called the nerd genre, because nerd is an acronym for no one ever really dies.
There you go.
How do we make money?
It felt like such a deep, weird cut. Like, also, is this where I'd expect Maul to show up in
was
the Obi-Wan?
Crimson then?
Yeah, Crimson Dawn.
He was the one in charge of it.
Gotcha.
And it's like, is this ever going to get paid off? And if it gets paid off, will it be in a solo sequel? Like, Maul's not... I don't associate Maul with Han Solo.
No.
Hey, fun way to bridge the... A slightly fun way to bridge the prequels to the regular trilogy. I'm fine with that.
Like, I'm not against it. I am a little bit salty that it's clear... It's obvious that the Star Wars movies and shows get along way better than the Marvel movies and shows do, and that bumps me out.
Oh.
A little salty.
Yeah, because Rogue One had a character from the shows, and it's like, why can't we
What was that
it?
One?
Forrest Whitaker's character was in Clone Wars.
Yep.
And it's like, and then Maul had a whole backstory in the shows, and now he's in the movie, and it's like...
Maul's backstory was sick. And he's in not only Clone Wars, but Rebels.
Yeah.
So he's like... Go on to the test
and it's
of time.
Spider legs both times, right?
Basically.
No, he eventually gets
real, but he's like magnetic and cyborg.
That's the cool thing is when he gets spider legs.
Nothing's happening from the waist down. Yeah.
Yeah.
L3. We don't know what. I mean, who knows what can happen?
Yeah. But I also like the fact that it's like this is Disney or Lucasfilm realizing they fucked up by killing Maul. Like every time I have those fantasy talks where it's like, how would you rewrite the prequels? It's like, obviously Maul doesn't die.
Yeah, he's
obviously
so cool.
He chases Obi-Wan throughout the galaxy for like two movies, and then you have that extra level of suspense. And General Grievous is not a character; that's then Maul instead.
Yeah.
But for this one, it's like, cool. Now that they've rectified these big problems, who else can we resurrect? Like, who else can we kind of give the life that they deserve?
Boba Fett.
Well, no, he's getting his own movie now.
Yeah.
And James Mangold.
Hold on. I don't. Can you guys tell me what that is? Sure. What's going on with that?
It is in development. James Mangold is a part of it.
Cool.
As far as I know, from what I read, no script, no nothing. He's developing the movie for Boba Fett, and that's all the info.
Cool. I'm down.
Yeah. He does westerns. Boba Fett would fit really well into a western.
Really good.
There are some western themes in Han Solo, too, so I feel like if you were to lean into that more, it wouldn't be the worst idea.
And this is, again, like, this is the first movie, apart from Maul being in Solo, we're seeing more and more, especially with Rogue One as well. It's not about the Jedi. It's about the universe. And I actually really dig that, because as soon as you get into territory, it's like, all right, we've got force push, you've got powers, you know, it's a little bit more fantastical.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's more scoundrel, western, you know, it's a bit of a different genre.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're going to go over to with Boba Fett, because it's like, none of them have Jedi powers. They are the bounty hunters, and that's a whole other ball game, and that's a lot of fun, and that's smuggling, and you know.
I'm glad that it would be something different, because we've done two solo movies now on like
Star Wars
outlaws
movies.
Basically two Star Wars movies on like outlaws kind of or teams of people doing something like kind of bad but kind of good in the same time, and it's just like, they're not that. Rogue One and Solo for me are not totally different. They're not like there are different characters and there's different story beats, but they're kind of treading the same territory.
Yeah,
because they're like,
we're getting a crew together to do a
we're
thing.
We're getting a crew.
But you have to understand, like, Order 66 was subjected in the third movie, and all the Jedi were killed except Luke.
Yeah.
So like for the decades, Jedi don't exist, and I think that's what they're focusing on. It's like, yeah, we could go back and earlier, but for like a chunk of time, there were only ever two Sith, the Master and the Apprentice, and there were a league of Jedi. There was a Jedi Order. So I think that, you know, you've gone from having all of that, and now decades where there's absolutely no Jedi at all, and then that's where the Skywalker trilogy picks up, because you finally got sort of people that have the Force again. And I like this chunk in the middle.
Yeah,
it's a bummer that they're both like, the both stories we've seen are people people that are kind of reluctant to do a thing, and then they do the thing, and they're kind of.
But that's because
guys.
This is where the Empire is building power, because the only person who's got the Force is the Emperor, and he is just the biggest master manipulator, and he's forming literally like the Empire, where he's in charge of the galaxy because he's got, you know, the only one with Force powers technically at that particular time. Well, now that's Maul as well.
Yeah.
And so that's why you've got the seedy corruption, you've got the mafia, you've got the underground, you've got the gambling. It's like that dark and dirty era.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I did like the idea of the space yacht. I liked the idea that it's just like this, like it's this like wealthy casino, or not casino, but like mansion on wheels, and it looked cooler than like the Star Cruiser. Even though it's fun to see like the Star Destroyer and everything like that, it's cool that this one looked like something a rich person would actually get, and it functioned that way.
I would like, actually, we'll probably get this in the questions. We've got some Twitter questions.
Let's do it.
We've got one from Rachel at Rach underscore Corinne. Do you think they're going to continue this storyline with Maul and Kira?
I don't know where.
Maul and Kira.
Yeah, because she's working for, I guess she's the new Paul Bettany.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that. Yes.
Would you see, would it be in Solo 2, and would you see a Solo 2?
Oof.
Yeah.
Is this movie doing well enough for a Solo 2? I like the setup. I like that we might get to the huts, and I'm interested to see what happens with Kira and Maul.
So when you look at trilogies that's happening at the moment with Star Wars, the first one's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Force Awakens, super safe. Solo, super safe.
Yeah.
And this is the second one where they take the risk. Last Jedi, holy shit, man, what the hell? Like, that was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Solo, if it got a sequel, they would be taking far more risks with it. It'd and that's cool. exciting for me.
It'd be cool if Ron Howard was just there the whole time. It'd be cool if there was a director that had an idea for the first movie and then followed through with that idea.
Because that's not
movie.
What they're doing with Star Wars anyway, at all. JJ, Ryan, inconsistencies.
And then back to JJ, which kind of makes it feel kind of all over the map.
Yeah.
Because it's like
JJ sets things up. And there's no follow through at all.
There's teed up and then steamrolled.
I'm kind of glad that JJ is back for the third one, if for no other reason that it's like, hey,
payoff.
Like if somebody was like, hey, here, I'm going to hand you this thing. And like, nope, never mind. I'm going to make my own thing. Well, it's like, what are we doing?
What's the point?
We've got Robert Christ. Actually, Sam, what do you think about the Maul Kira? What do you think they're going to continue the story?
I said this in the spoiler free. Amelia Clark, she did a good job as Kira.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't think a lot of what happened to her made a lot of sense, personally. It was like, wait, we got
to
make sure.
I wanted him to be controlling over her more, whether it's like, I found a family member and I will destroy them if you don't follow my rule, whatever.
I thought that tattoo was like going to kill her if she like killed Paul Bettany, and it was like a cool sacrifice to show that she like liked Han or whatever. But you didn't need like another female character to die, but I thought there was like a cool stake to that like, oh, no, Han, you really don't understand that I'm like a slave. Like I'm like everyone in this answers to the one mafia don, and if you don't follow him, like,
you're dead.
You die.
Yeah.
And I thought that would have been interesting and a cool like new twist. And then when she does the twist, I'm like, what does this mean?
What was her motivation?
I do like that, because she keeps trying to tell Han that, like, hey, you don't know what I've been up to for the years that you've been
so
gone.
So it's like, why don't you tell us? We need to know the audience.
Because she's a criminal.
But also,
she's a criminal now. She wants to get promoted.
And because she's a woman, she don't think with her dick. She thinks with her brain.
Exactly. Boom. But I think, I don't know if you made the joke or if you made the joke, but it was shit.
It was good. It was probably Maude.
Thank you.
Well, guys, totally forgot.
So yeah.
We'll go to this tweet from Robert Chris at What Up Rob. What fan service moment was your favorite? Shuri ripping the arms off the guy.
Jesus Christ!
I wish we could have seen more of that. I've seen more violent things than a PG-13 movie. Like, you could have shown it.
Wookiees are known to be terrifying. Their strength is unfounded. And I think that, yeah, you really got a good insight of that. And, you know, you guys know where that's mentioned again?
In
A New Hope. Yeah. Where R2-D2 is playing the holographic chess against... Chewie.
Yeah.
And he's like, can I make a suggestion? Let the Wookiee win. Because Han says, yeah, if you piss him off, he'll rip your arms off.
Yeah. There's also, he runs off a couple other fan service moments. Learning how Han got his name or gun. Darth Maul, Han shooting first or another. I did like that scene where Beckett doesn't even get his sentence out and Han just shoots
Boink.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But mine was the mention of Bosk. I think that could be a little bit of a setup. So if you don't know Bosk, he's one of the famous...
Is he the lizard guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
The bounty hunters. Yeah. He got a a big arc in Clone Wars.
There you go.
But basically, there's about a group of six or seven of them, and they raise Boba Fett.
Oh.
Yeah. What's the? It's like, what's her name? Anna Sung, something like that.
Anna Faris. Ahana. She was in the Scary Movie franchise.
Anyway, you've got like, it's like a full-on awesome like rec team where they've got a sniper, they've got the muscles, they've got the droid, yeah. They've got like a sick team, and they raise Boba Fett, and they do all the bounties.
I love that. It was a sniper rifle that he just took off all the parts that would make it a useful gun and gave it to Han. It was like, yeah, it's so now you don't have the barrel, so it's a little actually harder to shoot,
yeah.
But you still can aim if you want to up near your face. It was like, I like the gun, but the explanation of him just like making it, him just doing it while talking, cool. But I'm like, oh, you had a more useful gun that you just threw away, yeah. To give him this little pea shoot. Whatever. It was fine. Yeah. I thought we were gonna get a joke kind of like in Men in Black where he gives him the little tiny gun. Yeah. He's like, actually, it's really strong, but he just dismantled a more useful gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, before we go any further with these Solo spoilers, let's take a second. I want to say hey, want to give a shout out, mm-hmm. to Mac Weldon.
Let's say what's up to Mac Weldon.
Mac Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. We just got some Mac Weldon clothing.
Mac Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing. Let me get that started right now. Let me get that in your brain.
Yeah, unless you're wearing Mac Weldon.
Unless then you're already ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Well, then you're just going to like hearing about this, about how smart you are, because you already own Mac Weldon. Now, we actually grabbed a couple items from Mac Weldon. I grabbed myself a hooded sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Ace specifically is the brand that they're the name of the sweatshirt that they got. I got myself what do they call this? A red clay.
Ooh.
Now you grabbed yourself some shirts, isn't
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I like.
Is that correct? You
I
got like a couple V necks.
Yeah, I like the V necks. I like a nice, simple, solid color design. But you know, you want a shirt that feels good, and these shirts feel good. In fact, Mac Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and more that you will ever wear. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial.
This means they eliminate odor. I'm a smelly boy, and these things have been doing that. They've been doing their job well.
They're doing the job.
Doing the Lord's work.
Mac Weldon wants you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will still refund you. No questions asked. Not only does Mac Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too. It's good for working out, going to work, going out on dates, and just everyday life.
Now, here comes the deal. Again, write this down. For 20% off of your first order, visit macweldon.com. Here's a spell for you. macweldon.com. And enter our promo code STUPID at checkout. All right. One more time. Visit macweldon.com and enter our promo code STUPID at checkout. Start dressing smarter, god dang it. Now back to Solo.
Barky Pants C137, did Sassy Droids peak with K2SO?
Yes.
I think K2SO, I think
L3. Still my favorite.
I think L3 is funnier than K2SO.
What? I think K2SO is a lot funnier than L3. L3 was great. She was fine. But like I said, she really had the one agenda. And it was like the one joke where Lando's in love with me. And it was played a little bit too hard. It's like, yeah, get it. I don't know. Like, there was some improv that you could tell that she'd made it up and it really fit nicely. But for me, K2SO was just such a brilliant
Who
character.
Who played L3?
A woman called Phoebe Wallace, okay. I think it is. Phoebe something Wallace. She wrote a series in the UK that did really well called, I think, Fleabags.
Okay. Was she on Broadchurch? I think the David Tennant crime thing for BBC. I could have my actors mixed around, but I think that's what I... Because I looked her up, too, because I was like, wait, I don't know who you are.
Because she sounds like Brienne of Tarth. And I was like, holy crap, we've got... Like, I knew she wasn't dead.
I've heard something what's to it, do, what's man. It,
right?
Some Phasma.
She was in Crashing.
My wife loves Brienne, and so she has been disappointed by the last two Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Because she's got such potential. Yeah. And you're just like, all right, cool. I'm going to get your little, the first one. It's like, going to get him to have all the fun scenes, and it's a nameless, faceless character.
Yeah.
And then you've got her just falling. Yeah. And you're like, come on. Why is she chrome? Why did she get the cool suit?
I kind of need to, maybe I'll give Rogue One more try, but I really didn't enjoy that movie. Like, the coolest part for me is when they fire the Death Star at the city, and you watch what it looks like from that point of view. Yeah. Cool.
From a certain cool. point of view?
Yeah.
That's a Star Wars phrase.
I figured. Yeah. Yeah, but then the rest of the movie I thought was kind of dumb. That's why, like, a lot of the elements that I should have liked, I was watching, I was like, oh my god, I'm so bored.
I mean, I like it because there were stakes.
Yeah, I actually...
Kind of. Rogue One, they don't matter, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Rogue One is still probably my favorite of the new Star Wars movies.
And you didn't love it.
I didn't love it. I love it. It's just that last battle goes on.
It does.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny Boy at ShinyVerse78. We've mentioned Danny here on the show before. What should be the next spinoff they should or shouldn't make?
Jedi Academy. Sith Academy. Please show me the Sith Academy. And we are talking, this is going to have to be a couple of hundred years before the prequels.
Yeah.
So this is going kind of Old Republic-ish era. And that is, you go into an academy to learn how to be a Sith.
Yeah.
And it's the same mentality. This is like a bunch of evil people. So it's like you kill or be killed.
Yeah.
And I think that mentality, and what I would love to see is someone who's in the Sith Academy and they're actually not bad.
Yeah.
And they have to make all these really awful decisions and all they want to do is just go into the archives and read.
Something I would love to see them do, I would love to see them do like Old Republic, like just do 1,000 years in the past, do 1,000 years in the future, get out of this what you're in right now, because I've seen it a bunch.
Also,
now,
more than one war ever happens, period. Like, you could have an intergalactic war 1,000 years in the past.
But they're using nostalgia to get bums in seats. So yes, it's like, hey, you remember this character? Let's flesh that character
but
out.
We've talked about this on, like, name nine different shows we've talked about this. But if you did, like, a Hogwarts-esque type movie, but instead of having one school, you have the two schools. You have the Sith and the Jedi. Well,
I have told you about this, but I feel like 3 years now.
Yeah,
I wanted this since like
it's
I did a Jedi
great idea
podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that'd be great. Also, I think it'd be
have
cool.
The young yes! adult audience. There yeah. you go.
Well, we're getting the Disney streaming service, and I think that this would be a great live action show.
Yeah.
Oh, sign me up.
And I think it'd be a cool way to, if they do that, I'd like them to flesh out the idea of, like, because this so much of it's fleshed out on, or is about the Force, deal with the Force is a concept I think is kind of stale, and so it's like, do something. There's actually Avatar The Last Airbender, one of my favorite lines is when he meets King Bumi, who was his friend in the past, and Bumi's like, do you know about Jin? He's like, Inga's like, yeah, there's two Jin. He's like, no, there's like 47, but we'll focus on the two. I love a line with that, with the Force, like, well, tell me what you know about the Force. There's a light and dark side. Well, no, there's actually a ton of different aspects of it, but sure, if you want to focus on light and dark, fine.
Yeah. Do you know about the gray Jedi?
Yeah.
But again, that's just a combination of light and dark. I'd say, like, have the concept of the Jedi be, or the Force be like, no, there's like hundreds of permutations of this idea.
Yes.
It's just now, because it's been whittled down to Luke and Darth Vader, it's like light and dark. But really, if you go back 1,000 years, we were talking about a bunch of different crazy stuff.
Well, there
you know
is a little bit more. Like, there's interpretations of the Force. So Yoda, he was the one who kind of like perpetuated the Force ghost aspect, and like, you know, the astral projection, which Obi-Wan was taught. And it was Qui-Gon Jinn that kind of focused on the science behind the Force. You know? So they actually used
the
Midichlorians,
everybody's favorite.
They used adaptations of it, but actually, not everyone had access to all of it.
Yeah. To get people in seats, how old is Yoda again? He's like super duper old.
800
like
and something. When 900 years old you are. Look this good, you will not. Uh-huh.
You could do a movie 900 years in the past when he goes
He's
to school.
He's a baby.
When
I
he
love
goes
it.
To, he goes to Jedi school. Uh-oh, college hijinks. Let's see them.
A young Dooku. A young Dooku, and see the start of that friction. Because Yoda taught Dooku. Then that could even be great. Also, there's a great book called Lost Stars by Claudia Gray, and it is a Romeo and Juliet tale between a TIE fighter and, well, two people that went to the academy together, and this happens around the time where the Death Star, the second one, blows up.
Yeah.
Or the first one. Yeah, it's the first one, because Alderaan gets blown up as well, which is this girl's home planet.
Mm.
And then he defects to the rebellion.
Yeah.
And it's this gorgeous, you know, I love you, you're my soulmate, but we're fighting the wrong fights.
Yeah.
And it's, that would be really, really
like
cool.
Saga.
As Maud, this is for you from Danny Boy in the chat. Jedi / Mandalorian War. Is
love
that interesting?
It. I think, honestly, like, if we could get an Obi-Wan movie, which we've been talking about a lot. In the Clone Wars, there's this great arc where Obi-Wan goes to Mandalore to help sort out, like, as the representative of the Jedi Order, to help out what's going on Mandalore. And there's a duchess called Satine who looks like me, and I really want that role. And it's like their love story, and they are absolutely in love, and like, it's this thing where she gets killed in front of him, and it's like a really impacting kind of like story arc, but it's all about Mandalore. So you see Boba Fett's sigil all throughout this planet, and it's really kind of cool to learn about this army and their shit that's going down. So that's what I'd love to explore if we ever get a Obi-Wan movie, which we won't, because it'll be the 19 years that he spends on Tatooine.
Yay.
Well, and also,
another desert planet, please. For the love of fucking God, I need more desert
sands. I hate it, it's coarse and gets everywhere.
No crew wants to shoot in the desert.
Yeah.
Don't do that to them. Like, oh wait, 19 years, actually he was there for like 3 months. He's like, fuck this.
Yeah,
a beach planet.
It's basically like Oliver on the island in Arrow. It's like, you were gone on that island for 5 years. No, I was gone for 5 years.
I was gone for 2 years. years and went back to visit. Mainly was in China.
Yeah. And I feel like the payoff, if you did an Obi-Wan movie, would be, now that we've established that Maul is back, that confrontation. But I'm pretty sure that confrontation played out on Rebels. Maul finds Obi-Wan on Tatooine while Obi-Wan's camping out for Luke, and they fight. So it's like,
you can do a version of that. Also, you've mentioned this before, and Maul, you definitely know this because you know Star Wars stuff, but you've mentioned that there's other fun elements that like the legend books would play with like people coming from outside the galaxy who can't be affected by the Force.
They don't. Bong. Uh-huh. I remember I had a friend in high school that was way into the books, and I know there's something called the Yuuzhan Vong saga, and it was this alien species that came out from outside of the galaxy, and so the Force didn't affect them.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Like, that's such a cool, like, it's just, does it make any sense? No.
Is the Force real, Sam?
Yeah. No. But also, it's like, it's the thing that connects everything in this galaxy.
I see, yeah.
Not outside this galaxy. It's like, wait, so it's not like a law of physics? Just this galaxy far, far away, and slightly further is this galaxy where these guys come from, and it doesn't affect them there. Yeah. Which it would make
monochlorians.
Sense. But it would be, but like it would be cool, and I'd like them to at least kind of like play around with those ideas. That way, if you did your Hogwarts type show, do the thing where there's like you could pull as much as you want from Harry Potter lore, where there's dark arts people training in the school, and that's the Sith, where it's like, you want to be selfish? Like, maybe you actually play around with the ethics of it, where it's like, the Sith do, in the time of the movies that we watched, they're the bad guys always, but it's like,
there's no bad and good, and Disney and Lucasfilm is really honing in on the fact that there's no bad and good. It's the dark and the light. It's just the decisions that you make between power and, like, protection.
Selfish and selfless, but also in both ways, they are both selfless and selfish. They're different. And so it's like, play around with that, where it's like students who are trying to figure out who they are
moral
as
dilemmas.
People. Yeah.
And they're going through puberty and they're trying not to die.
No. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really interesting.
I mean, Hunger Games did well.
This is pod racing.
Harry Potter did. That's wizard. I died inside. All right.
That's what I'd like. I wanted to read a few comments from the Reddit, if I may.
What about our Jar Jar prequel, huh? Or sequel. What has he been up to?
You shut your mouth.
You had three movies with him. You're fine. You got enough of him. There's no more.
I'm just saying, you know, we'll get there eventually if they keep doing this stuff. From run out of characters.
Blue Panda 86, they write, I just got home from seeing it. I was worried when I first heard about this movie because Han Solo is my favorite character and Harrison Ford is my favorite actor. Yeah. But after seeing this movie, my worry has gone away.
Oh, that's
good. I
thought
Alden did a great job as Han. He was able to make the character his own. The whole cast was fantastic, with Donald Glover being one of the standouts. And the ending with Darth Maul, I freaked out when I saw him. Man, we didn't bring this up, but there were five diehard Star Wars fans in our theater, and when Maul showed up, they were like, it was like those Baptist church videos you see online where people are fainting because they're getting healed. It was like, you gotta breathe. Honey, you gotta breathe, because like,
this is like my, what a wanker moment, but I was at the premiere when I saw it, and because I've seen Rebels, and because I'm really good friends with Sam Witwer, who has been voicing.
And he voiced him in this as well.
Yes, exactly. And so when I heard that, because you know how it was off camera and you could hear his voice, I recognized his voice straight away. So as soon as he started speaking, I was like, oh! And then like one, two, three, you saw him, and then the crowd erupted.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, that's really cool.
Credibility over here.
That also, it kind of maybe ties back. Was Paul Bettany's face design kind of in like an homage to Maul a little bit? Because his like black streaks kind of go up his face, right, and through his skull. Like that's how his like skin looks as his alien race.
Yeah, but that's more similar. Of like a skin pattern, and I feel like
it looked like a brand, and that's why I thought it was maybe as like an homage to him. I could be totally wrong.
Is that why they were working together? Like they were in the same. So
maybe that's
again,
what the high-ranking Crimson
Maul's
Dawn people do.
Backstory is sick. Did you know that Maul is from the same planet that Rancor originally from?
Oh, is that where he's got the?
I'd watch a Maul prequel movie.
Did you see it in Clone Wars? Did you ever watch that?
I've seen when they brought Maul
like
back.
With
Asajj Ventress. I watched that arc, but I didn't watch it. Every once in a while, when I hear there's a Maul centric thing, I'll check it out because I think he's really cool. Because so I was cool. A kid when that movie came out, so I thought it was rad. Yeah. Double bladed lightsaber, yes please. That's why
you saw it. I mean, of course they had to turn it on, so it's like yes, he still has it, but it looked a little different.
Yeah,
which was cool.
Yeah,
because it's what? How long? 20, 30 years later?
Yeah, the bad guys are the most interesting parts about these movies. I'd definitely be down to a movie that focuses on Sith characters and exploring, like... Anyway, I'd be down for that. Yes, so I think
we're winding up. No. Winding down. to be correct. Ma, thank you so much for joining us.
So, I'm just looking up the planet. I used to know Dathomir.
There it is.
I knew it.
There it is.
Of course.
Everyone. It's always on the tip of everyone's tongue. we always forget. But thank you for joining us.
Oh, and it's Aura Singh that is the bounty hunter that helped raise Boba Fett, and she's a sniper. Look her up.
She's like ghost white.
Do you want to see what she looks like?
She's in Phantom Menace, right? And during the pod race, she looks down.
You're exactly right.
I've got a nerd over here. she's pulling up a photo right now. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. Let's take a look.
let's all take a look together. If you're listening at home.
Wait, put the headphone up to your eye. She looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very blurry there.
Yeah, it looks like her head goes on forever. I couldn't tell.
Maud, for the kids at home, where can they find you? What should they be paying attention to?
So I run a social media, I guess, channel and site, which is basically all geek news, trending topics. We do fan castings all the time. We also design and create geeky cocktails.
Ooh.
So we've done themed Avengers cocktails. I think we've done Justice League. We've done the whole bunch of them. And I have actually recently put up a couple of videos where Disney flew me over to Paris to shoot some content in a recreated parts of the Millennium Falcon.
Great.
So it was 10 things that I would do if I was in the Millennium Falcon. And the first thing that I would do is turn into Maud Solo, which I did.
Yes.
And it became the Maud Millennium Falcon.
There you go.
So check that one out. It was a lot of fun. And then you also see behind the scenes and vlogs all coming as well.
That's so
exciting. And then interviews with the cast. They're all up on Geek Bomb too.
And
at Shop What on Instagram and Facebook. Check that one out because we are launching real soon. Exciting.
That's so cool.
And Patreon have seen the designs early. So shout out to my Geek Bomb Patreon. Yeah.
Sam, where can the kids find you?
At Sam Basher, everywhere that matters. I'm doing stuff over at New Rockstars. Go tune in Sundays, 4:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/LifeNoggin to watch Play Noggin Game Night. That's such a fun show I do with Raina Scully. You guys know her.
She's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
I love that
friend of the podcast. DJ, ChaosTheoryComic.com.
Yeah, ChaosTheoryComic.com. If you want to see this comic happen, if you want to see me do more projects like this, go check it out and follow me on Twitter at DJ Talks Trash, or everywhere that matters at DJ Talks Trash for updates on that as we near the end of that campaign.
Also, really quick, happy birthday to Julie Leiden,
who's
watching live, and she's a supporter of our Patreon, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Check it out. You can watch live every Sunday and Saturday, Saturday at 11 a.m. And also, we're going to be doing a Google Hangout later in today. When you're listening to this, you already missed it, so suck it. But you can join our Patreon and be a part of that crew. It's very exciting. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you rate 5-star reviews on iTunes, onlystupidanswers.com. Those are all the plugs. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.